Truth, not trends.
Oh, it's got to be bigger than that, man. We're not truth, not trends. We're truth, not trends.
Boom, baby.
This is Jesse Schmidt and Liam Bauer coming to you from the Truth, Not Trends podcast, where we teach you how to maximize your strength as safely and efficiently as possible.
Changing the world one set at a time. Come over and see us at truthnottrends.com.
That's right. Podcast, blog, online training, you name it. We'll teach you how to get amazing results in the gym or at home in minimal amount of time. Head on over and subscribe to the Truth Not Trends podcast. A lot of good stuff.
Welcome to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions you're asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of cash. We laughing, we drafting the passion through every. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Oh my God, Cassidy Jamal Brown, how the hell are you?
I'm good. I did the thing that I don't know if it's always the best idea, but I had therapy literally right before this. Like, I just finished my therapy session and then I hop on this call. Woo!
I just feel like how could it? That's the best thing you could do.
I agree. I think it's awesome. I can't wait.
Given where we go, it's like, why, you know, I don't, you're all, here's how I see it. You're lubed up. And so ready to be penetrated.
Emotionally and spiritually.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, not physically because we're distanced, but.
Well, you could lube up just for your own pleasure if you like.
You don't know what I don't have going on right here. That's below this point. Line. You have idea.
I can't see. What do I know?
Maybe just watch my eyes. If my irises flare, you'll know that something's going on.
If you're just one day just jerking off throughout the podcast, A, gross, but B, high five, a little high five.
But with my left hand. High five will be with my left hand.
It's definitely a virtual high five. I'm not going to actually high five you for jerking off while we do spiritual work, but I will, the comedy part of me, high five you in essence.
Yeah. I mean, welcome to the show, everybody. This is All the Answers, where we talk about masturbating and high fiving.
And then we're going to meet God in a few minutes and ask our guest if that person wants to ask God any questions. No big deal. It's normal stuff. It's a Tuesday. It's not Tuesday.
It's a what Thursday. Day is it? Thursday, which is known as Thor's Day for Thor, the god of thunder, and a bunch of other things.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wednesday. Wednesday is Woden's Day, which is Odin.
What?
God of war, healing, wisdom. He's an old man with one eye. Friday is Frigga's Day.
Wait a minute. Hold on. On Wednesday, did they get that from the W from...
So Odin is one way of saying it. Other ways of saying it is Wotan or Wotan.
Oh, got it.
So
Wu-Tang?
Depending on...
This is Wu-Tang, the Wu-Tang
it's
Clan
the Wu-Tang Day. Wu-Tang forever on Wednesdays.
What's Monday?
It's just Moon Day, but there's also a... There is a specific... They're all... Like the planets and the Norse gods that are associated with those planets.
Is this like a pagan thing? Is this a, how did this well, come about?
I think it's like a mix. This is where I'm going to start talking out my ass. So yeah. This is me talking out my ass.
Yeah.
So I read one place that all the days are based on planets. So Sunday, obviously, Sol, Sun. Monday, Moon Day. Tuesday is Twigs Day. Tweet or Twee's Day, which is a particular god that is also has a corollary in, it's a Norse god that has a corollary in the Romans, which has a planet associated with it. Like, and I forget which is which.
I kind of like, just fell asleep while you were just saying that.
Supposedly they're all based on one of the planets, and those planets are associated with a Roman god, which are associated with a Norse god.
I should be, like, people would argue that if anyone knew this shit, it would be my ass.
Yeah.
But I so don't.
Look it up.
I like this. I like when you know something relatively esoteric and I'm like, I don't know. I just like to make dick jokes.
Well, we've started writing on the whiteboard in our kitchen what day it is. It started with that because we're like, oh, I don't know what the fuck day it is. Yeah, so we're like, today is Wednesday.
Well, that's nice.
But yeah.
This makes me think of, I don't know why, but our amazing guest who we're going to have on in a minute here, my buddy Peter Hyogachi, who I know from my time in Los Angeles. I was thinking about this as we were getting on the call today and thinking about the irony or the interestingness or the woo-woo magic or whatever you want to call it of we had your dad on, which I assumed in my human mind would be a very emotional kind of psychological, spiritual healing-y type of thing. But it turned out to be alien heavy, alien heavy. And then now we're having my buddy Peter on where in my mind, I'm like, this is alien day. We're going for aliens because Peter's like my alien guy. When I think of alien stories,
right.
I think Peter, but watch, it'll turn into a cooking show.
It's going to be about foot fetishes. That's it.
Exactly. So I'm very excited to see what unfolds and occurs here today.
I'm psyched. Let's do it.
Before we do that though, what else is happening in Cassidy Land? I think the people need to know.
What is happening? I'm going to do an improv show this Friday that no one will... you'll see it if you know about it, but you won't know about it because this won't be for another few weeks.
Ooh.
But Bats has been doing a lot of improv shows online. They've kind of cornered the market on the Zoom improv show.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to play this format. It's a script format where I have a script and the other actor doesn't.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And Katie, you should know, I'm doing our scene... from You Mean to Do Me Harm.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm doing our coffee shop scene.
Did they ask you which script?
Yeah, I submitted a script to them, a two-person scene.
Okay, so for context for people listening, Cassidy and I were in a professional play together called You Mean to Do Me Harm, written by the fabulous, brilliant Christopher Chen, local playwright, international superstar, man of mystery. And... Cass is pulling from that play to do this improv show.
Yeah. So I'll be reading my lines. The other actor will be bullshitting their lines.
Oh my God.
Which would be your lines.
Will you please invite me to this?
Yeah. I'll make sure.
Oh,
at the end of today.
My God. Because I'll be sitting there enjoying the hell out of how not correct their lines are.
And you've got one coming up, Katie. I'm excited about your show coming up.
I do. Thank you. We recorded a little promo for it before you got on today.
Oh.
So we're going to put that promo at the beginning of some older podcasts than today because math.
They'll come out in time for people to hear and then.
Yeah, because time and math, I can't.
Time are confusing.
Desmond is the genius of all this. Desmond and I were on before also, and I'll ask Desmond. This is my experience of talking to Desmond about sound engineering stuff. I'll be like, so how's it going? And he'll say words, and I have no idea what words he said. I don't understand. He's like, when I sync the gain and the gain is higher than the syncing. And then, when the feed is out, you can't. And I'm like, I'm glad he feels good getting to process when he needs to. I'm here in my heart for this friend of mine. He could talk Japanese and it would be the same to me. Talk Japanese. What am I from 1950?
Say, fella.
What am I?
Would you
kind of
be talking Japanese?
Oh, no. He could talk Japanese. I said that out loud.
Don't do it, Desmond. Don't do it.
No, don't. Really don't. Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
All right. You're doing improv. I'm doing a stand-up comedy show.
On my birthday.
Oh, son of a bitch.
You know what? Maybe I'll have a viewing party as part of my birthday hangout.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
that
it'll be great. It'll be fun. How long's your show? 15 minutes? Perfect.
It's more like I could do 3 hours, but they make me stop at about 50 minutes.
Okay. No, that's fine. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fun if you celebrated your birthday in that particular way.
Yeah.
Listening to me be sassy.
And sassy pants.
No presh. What are you going to be, about 75, 76?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How old you are?
Pretty much 83.
Oh, I was cutting it under.
Yeah. I was on a call the other day. It was a game show style thing for an alumni event for my old camp, the Camp Winter Rainbow that I used to go at.
Oh, I saw the promo for that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. But anyway, it came up that my name was Sassity, you were just talking about being sassy and that my name, because someone else's name was, we thought it was Ciara, but it was Kiara with a C.
I see.
And we kept saying Ciara. And so I said, well, if we're going to say Ciara, you can call me Sassity. And then everybody was like, I'll never not call you Sassity from here forward.
I believe we haven't been calling you Sassity forever.
I agree.
It's so appropriate.
And Satie. Nope, doesn't work.
Nope, doesn't work at all. Can't do it. All right, so you're doing improv. I'm doing a stand-up show. What else do we have to catch people up on or ourselves?
Yeah, how's your heart?
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. Thank you
your
for
spirit.
Asking. What a nice question. It's really good. I had a good morning because I love a morning where... So I had two healing clients this morning, both of whom were people who I would say are deep enough on their own spiritual path that doing the work is easier. So like I can flow and pull and flow and pull stuff out when people have a connection and when they're like super already down a path. It's just, it has a different kind of satisfaction for me personally. When people are new, it's still good because you really get to kind of blow people's minds, I guess. People go, oh my God, wow, my heart feels different. You go, yeah, that's how it works. But people who've been around a while, it's like we can really get some traction. Anyway, so that was fun. And then I like the balance of a day. Like it starts like that. And then we do a podcast where we're chit-chat, fun times, chit-chat, spiritual too. But it's a nice balance to like just being in the woo or the spirit, you know?
Right.
And then later this evening, as you know, you and myself and our improv partner, Sam, will be doing some improv, which is also a nice balance to all these other things. So it feels like a really good day, Katie Land.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I have some fun man things happening, which are very lovely.
Nice. Do you want to talk about them on the podcast right now? What's going on, Katie?
No, okay. No, I'm just teasing. Yeah. Just really beautiful, lovely connection with someone who matters to me a whole lot. It's nice and deep and real and connected. And we have dated before and we are dating again.
Yes.
It feels like a very different version of itself. It maintains its heart and soul that was always there, but it feels like a much more functional, healthy, Katie is better.
Oh, love that
version of itself, which is very nice and grounding and things. So we'll see what unfolds. But
I know who you're talking about.
And no.
Yes. No. I'm so happy for you. That's great. That's whew, that's nice. That's good.
I'll tell you what, with quarantine, I mean, it's just a very obvious sentence to say, but like pretty nice to have human contact when, I mean, coming from like, I'm super live on my own and have a dog and a cat and like have been avoiding human beings. And I mean, it is a pretty interesting topic, I think, in general to look at is that like, I'm curious actually how it's going in your neck of the woods, but up here in Benicia, it's like stores are open, restaurants are open, people are going to them. They're sitting socially distant distances apart and outside.
Right.
But like the clothing stores are open. You can go to Starbucks and there's like not the counter isn't like at the door now. The counter's like in the middle of the store and you can actually come inside, but you have to have a mask on. So it's sort of like a less intense version of what it was before.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. My point being like I was like super alone and then it was like, oh, the world opened a little right around the time where it's like I'm also touching a human body.
Right. On the you regular. Added one person to your germ pod.
Yeah, exactly. And we both are, you know, careful and being conscious out in the world and all that. And
it's so the same as like the safe sex talk. Like, like everybody I've had sex with, you are now having sex with is the idea, right?
Right,
and the same thing goes with this conversation. Like, okay, you've been in isolation. I've been in isolation. So us joining isolations is safe because you have, you know, you've worn protection in any of your contact with other humans. And we have isolated long enough that we know blah, blah, blah.
Totally, man. It's so weird. I mean, and I guess, I mean, you can argue that like every time we go to the store, it's like, are we still blah, blah, blah? But like, we're, you know, I'm washing the hands relentlessly and I wear the masks in the social places and all the things. So we're doing what can be done.
Yeah.
This will sound maybe a little dark, but I don't mean it to be glib or flip in any way, but I am quite curious to see what's going to happen in the fall and the late summer with this, like where people are talking about, you know, a resurgence or another layer of it, or it's like, I don't know what that's going to look like. You know, I've asked in the records and I've gotten, I mean, they've told me, but here on the ground as a human being, it's like, it's going to be interesting to see how things play out, you know?
Yeah, it's we're living in such unknown times. You know, could be argued that every day is unknown times, but it just feels so different. And yet, in my little bubble, so mostly comfortable and full of joy. Like, I'm such a recipient of the safety net that does exist.
Yeah.
You know, oh boy, I almost opened another topic, and I'll just introduce it to you, and maybe we touch on it later. Just been, we read a chapter to each other yesterday in my house from this book called Braiding Sweetgrass, which is a book sort of about natural plant wisdom and how genius and smart plants are, but from the perspective of, I believe she is of some Native American descent and like traditions. And so she's writing somewhat from a traditions point of view, but also from a science and like plant communication point of view. But this was about the gift economy and how different the concept of gift is versus transaction.
Yeah.
And how actually the life that I live is actually one of a gift economy, even though I live within the framework. But like, this house was a gift, and I continue to share that gift as opposed to turn it into a transaction.
That's really,
you know,
very
the way
cool.
We are caring for each other in like the way we're feeding each other. Yes, we are like, if I go shopping, then the other people in this little pod pay me their share of that shopping list. But ultimately, we're sharing the meals. And as a result, it feels like the cost goes way down. But it just, everything is easier. And there is a debt. Like, gift economy incurs a debt transaction, but it's a spiritual debt. And not a debt is the wrong word. It's a spiritual cost.
What's the cost?
Give me a gift, this is what the woman was saying in the book, and I just like this concept and I want to explore it more. When you give me a gift, we actually now have, it costs you something, because that gift has to keep moving. And the concept of Indian giver, for example, is that what happened is they called them an Indian giver because the Indians gave something to the colonists, for example, right?
Okay.
Now the colonists said, oh, this is valuable. Thank you. I now have to keep this sacred. Because of the way their framework was, oh, this gift, you know, it's not a negative thing, but they were like, oh, I have to keep this now. And this is important, this gift, because it was, they gave it to me. But I see it as a commodity that you have given to me. Whereas the natives at that time were like, okay, now you give me something.
Right.
And not because you owe me X amount of money, but because that's how gifts work. It keeps things moving.
I see.
And when they, so then they're like, okay, you didn't give me something back. I guess I should take the thing back because the gift, you broke the gift. You took the spirit out of the gift by hanging on to it so tightly. So the spirit of the gift keeps moving.
Wow, I love that.
I might give you something else back, but, you know. And I just, that it's a slight shift in consciousness, but it's friggin' profound. And I realize I was raised with a gift economy consciousness.
Wow.
And
yeah,
so
I see that in your life very clearly.
Yeah,
I mean, I see that living through you all the time. It's quite inspiring. Like, just for context too, for people listening, like Cassidy lives in a home where it's a big house. It's in Oakland. Other people rent rooms, but it's very affordable for other people to live there. And also, he was kind of given the home, and now he's the landlord and co-owns the home. So it's this whole community of gifting, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you keep that gift moving. And it's different than like communism or socialism, which are a little more quantified versions of that. But it is, you know.
It's an energetic exchange of care.
That's it. Yeah, if anything, it's closer to anarchism, which is about mutual aid. Like, you take care of each other.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Well, I feel like that's a lovely moment for us to see if our guest is ready to come on. My dear friend, Peter Hyogachi. I don't know why, just because the spirit of gifting is so beautiful. And I'm like, Peter's a pretty cool guy. Hey, Peter.
Hi, Merry Christmas.
What?
He's giving us gifts. He's Santa.
So, Peter, hi, how the hell are you? What's happening in LA? I'm going to give people a little intro about who you are, but like, just hi, and how are you?
I'm good. I'm actually in Portland, Oregon.
Why?
I'm working on a movie. My composer and sound designer, they both live in Portland. And so when I do soundy kind of things, I come up to Portland. So I'm here. I've been here for a week. I've got another week left. Here for 15 days.
Okay, rock and roll. But otherwise, you live technically in LA still, or not really?
No, I live in Burbank.
Got it. Uh-huh. So a little bit of context for people. So let's see, Peter and I met, I'm going to say what I think happened, and then I'd love to hear the reality that you remember, Peter, because I get the past wrong all the time. We met in LA. We became buddies when I was living in LA and working as an actor and doing all kinds of LA type things. And how did we meet originally, Peter? Through Amy?
Through Amy D'Souza.
Yes.
Because Amy was like, she wanted to manage you.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah. And Amy is a casting director. And she's been casting for me for some time now. She's a good friend. And she took me to one of your shows.
That's right.
And I really dug what you were doing. And then she goes, oh, you're going to really like Katie. I think you guys should work together on a project or something like that. And we never figured out a project, but we ended up becoming friends.
That's right. That's right. Oh, Amy, will you send her my love?
I will.
Oh, that's great. How's she doing?
She's great.
That's great. And so you're a filmmaker. And maybe actually, can you tell the people listening, like, tell us about what kind of films you make, what kind of work you do, what's your jam?
Okay. My mom was an animator when I was a kid. She did Scooby-Doo and the Flintstones. Huh. And so I grew up, the beginning of my life was in Los Angeles, and she taught me how to animate. So I loved cartoons growing up. And so it was amazing to me that my mom made the cartoons that I watched.
Huh.
So I wanted to know how to do that. So I loved cartoons so much. So she taught me how to draw, and she taught me how to animate. So I was making cartoons by the time I was about 10. Then we moved to the Bay Area. And a family friend of ours was working at Industrial Light and Magic. He was a visual effects supervisor, matte painter for Return of the Jedi and E.T. and Dark Crystal and Batteries Not Included. And
wow.
Back to the Future, all of Steven Spielberg's movies, all of George Lucas's movies, all of Francis
Coppola's movies. I'm hoping that his name is actually Matt Painter, because that's what I heard when you first said it.
Well, Matt Painting is a very interesting visual effect. It's like you paint on glass and it's so realistic that it looks like a movie. And then you shoot.
We were hoping his actual human name was Matt Painter. That would be funny.
That would be funny. His name is Chris Evans.
Damn it.
I was already kind of like animating as a kid. So he, which is a sort of like a visual effect. Anyway, he became kind of like my big brother, and he would take me into ILM and show me how they were making Return of the Jedi. So then I was like, I want to do that. I want to make movies. So then when I was 15, I made my first film, and it won a George Lucas Film Festival, like a youth film festival. So I got to meet George, and then I got an art grant when I was 17. I got $30,000 to make my first feature film. So I turned Jean-Paul Sartre's No Exit into a feature film. I dropped out of high school and learned how to make movies really just by making them. And then I made my second feature when I was 23. I was in film school, went to UCLA for a little bit. Then I got an agent. I started working as a screenwriter. And I wrote a bunch of screenplays for different producers. Then maybe a dozen screenplays for about three different producers. And then one of them, I was hired to direct. That was First Last and Deposit. So I was 30. That movie won the New York Independent Film Festival, won the San Francisco Independent Film Festival. And then IFC bought it, and it was streaming on IFC and Netflix. And kept writing, kept directing, did a bunch of documentaries, television pilots, commercials. I became a visual effects supervisor around there. I started working on Sci-Fi Channel movies, started a company, a visual effects company. So I'm a writer, director, producer, visual effects supervisor, and general movie lover.
Got it. Okay. That's like vastly more about your resume and history than I've ever known. I didn't know almost any of that.
Oh, okay. I keep things close to the vest.
Yes, you do. Now, what I want to say, thank you for telling us all that. That's great context. In brief, before I tell you all the things, what you're working on, tell us what the thing is you're working on right now that has you up in Portland.
Well, I've got two movies I'm working on. One, I've been writing, directing, producing a thriller, kind of a horror thriller called The Tarot. And I've been doing that for 3 years, sort of on my in between the raindrops. And that's been, I finished shooting that and I've been on post on that. And then I recently got hired to do a film called Gods of Mars, which is a sci-fi, which I'm directing. And we are, I had this idea when I got hired to make the movie, I had this idea of maybe doing the entire film using a game engine, which is called the Unreal Engine, which is how most video games are made on this engine. It's a software platform. They make Fortnite. And so I went to them and I said, why don't you give me $500,000 to experiment with your software and make a portion of the movie, like the first sequence of the film, using your software to sort of as a proof of concept to see if we can actually make a movie using a game engine.
Huh.
So they said, okay, they do The Mandalorian. So it's kind of similar to what they're doing with The Mandalorian, except I'm doing some other things that are different. And so it's kind of like a R&D experiment on their end, and potentially they're funding the whole movie. But right now I'm just making a portion of the film. So I'm here scoring the movie right now.
Got it. Interesting, Peter. Rock and roll. Look at you living the dream.
Living the dream in my Airbnb in Portland.
Yeah, exactly. It's never what we, it never, as the spiritual teachers always say, right? It never looks like what we think it's going to look like.
Oh, this is exactly what I wanted. This is to the T exactly how I envisioned it. I love it. It's funky, delicious.
You wanted to be in an Airbnb in Portland? That was your vision?
Totally. I love this.
During a global pandemic specifically?
That was just the extra cherry on top of the sundae, really.
Okay. Well, good for you. Living the specific exact dream you visioned forever.
Yeah, this is good. I'm loving it.
So when you and I became buddies in LA, you know, one of the things you and I bonded over was these wacky, crazy stories from your life. And they're not, by the way, wacky, crazy to me, but they're maybe you could say to a kind of general public, a little wacky and crazy, or the general perception might be that.
Definitely wacky. And it's, I think by any definition, it's wacky and crazy.
Well, I think if you lived inside my daily experience with my healing clients, you'd be like, yeah, that's just a Tuesday. But other people, I don't know. My point being, I loved your stories so much. I think I've messaged you a bunch of times over the years of how I will like find myself somewhere telling your stories to other people and being like, my friend Peter has this great story and I'll tell one of your stories. And I've had this desire for a long time to be like, hey, I need to check in with you because I'm worried I'm not correctly telling your story. Like I might be telling your stories.
You've embellished them over the years, perhaps.
Maybe I've embellished.
I'm happy to go over them with you. I mean, the thing about these stories, which are strange, they're so strange. I don't really understand them, and they've happened to me over my whole lifetime. And I don't tell many people because they're crazy. I mean, they really sound totally bananas. So, but you know, when I met you, we just started telling each other stories about our weird lives, and your reaction to them were so cool that I was like, it was felt really like a safe place. Like, okay, I can just tell them all then. So I really appreciated that.
God, my pleasure.
I don't tell these stories really all that often because most people don't know how to handle them.
I know. You told me that when you were telling me, and I remember thinking like, what a shame that is. I mean, I get it. I get why you don't, but it's also such a shame because they're so freaking compelling. Let me ask you something. I have a question. I remember three stories that you told me, and I'll tell you the title of each of them. What I want to know is, I want to know for today, I'm wondering, A, am I remembering them correctly? And I'll tell you my little versions of them. But B, are there like 1,000 more? Are there two more? How many more than like three of these encounters do you think you have? And here are the ones that I remember.
Okay. I have more than three, but go ahead.
You're hiking with your...
Oh, the hiking one. Okay. That's a good... The hiking one is a good one. In the middle of the night one, right?
Okay. Hiking one is number one. Number two is you're living in a cottage. It's the middle of the night. The light comes on, the thing in the back of your neck.
Yeah. That's a weird one.
That's fucking amazing. That's number two. Number three is... God, this one blows my fucking mind. You go to meet your dad and the dude's underground and your dad's an architect for the army and he's building underground bunkers.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
And like those two dudes react weirdly when you're like, well, yeah. I'm reading about these aliens. And they're like, we're sorry you had to learn this way. Bye. And then they leave.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
So Okay, I'm so excited, Peter. I can barely stand it. Okay,
oh my
first
God.
Thing I want to do, I want to get the details right on the ones I told. I retold two of them last week on this podcast when we were talking to someone else. And I want to get it right. But then I would love to ask you if you'd be willing to tell us like one or two other ones from...
Sure, yeah. The thing about the story with my dad, I'm not going to do it on public because that's, my dad works for the CIA and the NSA and he does underground, he's a designer, he's an architect for underground bases. And I really don't want to talk more about that.
We can edit that one out of last week's episode. It hasn't been published yet.
That's about it. That's as much as I want to go into it. So I'd rather not talk about, I don't want to drag him into all this stuff.
Okay. So should we edit that out of last week or can we keep what we already have?
Yeah, that's fine. I just don't want to go into more of it.
Okay. You got it. No problem. All right. That's good. Cause that saves us time. I'll cut that one out. So then let's go back to the one with the thing in the back of your neck.
Okay.
You ready? Okay. Here's how I told the story. I'm going to do the briefest version of it. Okay. And I think I've made up fun interstitials that maybe are not true. This is what I remember. You're asleep. You're living in a cottage, like an in-law unit behind a house.
Yeah.
Am I right so far?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a very big house. There's like 12 bedrooms in this huge house, downtown Santa Barbara.
Okay. Got it. You're asleep in the dead of the night. A bright light wakes you up. The building is shaking. You go toward the light. You fall asleep. You wake up the next day. You've got this thing in the back of your neck. It's feels weird and maybe metallic, but you're not sure. You go to a doctor. The doctor looks at it. He brings in another doctor. They're feeling it. They don't know what it is. They schedule a surgery to cut it out. You go home. The thing happens again with the bright light in the middle of the night. You wake up the next morning and the thing is gone. And you go back to the doctor and you're like, well, I guess we don't have to do the surgery because the thing is gone. And they come up with like doctorly justifications for why the thing is gone. And you're like, okay. Like they say, like, it was just absorbed into your body. And you're like, it was metal.
Okay. All right. Well, most of that's good. So this is a little bit different, which is that, so I'm in the cottage in the back and I wake up around 3 a.m. and I sit up in bed, absolutely 100% awake. And my heart is racing and I don't even know why I'm sitting up. Like, I'm like, why am I sitting up? Why am I awake? What's happening? I don't hear or see anything. And then like the sun comes out. I mean, it's not the sun, but it's a huge pure white light and it descends from the sky and lands in my backyard. I'm in bed, so I don't really see the source of it. I don't see what is the light, but I do see all of these shadows moving as the light is descending and it's totally quiet. So I rush out. So I rush to the window to see what it was. And there's nothing in the backyard.
Okay.
And so I am thinking, and the quality of the light was a kind of a pure brightness that I'd never seen before. Just the quality of the light. Still never seen any light like that before or since. So then I pick up my phone and I dial 911. And I just hold my finger over the one. But then I don't dial 911 because I don't know who to call or what I'm supposed to say. So I just sit there, just panicked all night long until the sun comes up. And then I finally go to sleep. And in the morning, I have like a dozen roommates. We're all in our 20s and all artists. And it's like a boarding house, kind of European boarding house kind of situation. And the lady who owns the house is this old German lady, and she lives next door. And a little backstory on her, she's really amazing old lady who has never grown old for some reason. I mean, she has never like declined in age. Like, she still plays tennis and she's always cleaning and she bikes around and who knows how old she is. And when I first moved in, there was an old man who was her husband who ended up dying. But he used to say that this is not my wife, that this is an alien.
Okay.
And that this, that looks like my wife, but it's not my wife.
Okay.
And he was delusional and he ended up dying. But people used to make fun of the fact that he would tell people this. He told me this when I first moved in.
Okay.
But he'd also sort of wander off and the police would have to find him and bring him back. He was seen now.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I wanted to tell people what had happened to me that night, but I couldn't get it out of my mouth. Like, every time I'd see somebody in the kitchen making breakfast, I would try to say something and then I couldn't. It was very strange. Anyway, everyone proceeds to tell me that they had nightmares the following night. They can't remember what happened, but they all had nightmares. And then that evening, I'm hanging out with one of my roommates and he goes, "You got a pretty bad spider bite on the back of your neck." So I felt the back of my neck and it was bleeding. And I could feel a little bump there and it just felt like a spider bite. So maybe a year later, people had mentioned like there was a scar in the back of my neck, like a little bump. It looked like it was a sickle, like a half circle scar that was raised and underneath it was a nickel. That's what it looked like. People would mention it. They would say, looks like you have ringworm. So I didn't know what it looked like. So a friend of mine, my roommate, he took a picture of it. I don't know where it is now because this is before digital fake pictures and before social media or anything like that. This is in the 90s. Anyway, it bothered me because I knew that it was connected to that night. And I didn't want to say to myself that there was like that I was tagged or implanted or anything because it's really weird. And I just pretended it was ringworm because everyone said it was ringworm. I had numerous people say, "What is that? You look like you got ringworm." So then I just told myself I had ringworm. So I went to a dermatologist in Santa Barbara. I had scheduled an appointment. I said, "I've got ringworm. What can I do about this?" And so the guy's looking at me and looks at it and he goes, "This is not ringworm." Then he had another guy come in. So then there's two guys inspecting me. And then they did a x-ray. I came back like a couple weeks later and they were like, you have a piece of shrapnel underneath your skin.
Huh.
And so they said, "Were you in a car accident? Or do you work around like machine shops or anything?" And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm not around machine shops and I haven't been in any car accident." And he said, "Well, how did you get the metal underneath your skin? Like, how did this happen? Was there any kind of incident surrounding this scar?" And then I said, "Well, this light came down and landed in my backyard."
You know,
and then,
normal
and
stuff.
Then in the morning this happened. So then he looked at me like not really surprised or laughing or anything, just kind of sort of deadpan. And then he leaves. So I was in the office alone. And then this is a really weird detail that I remember, but there was a cartoon, like a comic strip. It was like three panels or something like that. And one of the panels was removed. So it just changed the meaning of the thing. And it was like a alien with another alien looking over a graph that said they keep increasing. What do we do? And then the guy goes, "Ignore it." And it wasn't funny and it didn't make any sense at all. It was just like two aliens. I think that's what it was. But anyway, it was so strange. I'm sitting there thinking, what's going on?
Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Hold on. So this is a cartoon that's like on the wall. Where is it?
Yeah, it's on the bullets. It's on the cork board.
And it's three panels, but one of the panels is missing.
Right. So it changes the context of the meaning of the comic strip is.
Okay. Which panel was missing? One, two, or three?
I don't remember. It was just, it was sandwiched together. So I think it was the middle one, but it could have been the third one. Anyway, it was like it was a hodgepodge of a comic strip involving two aliens talking about some kind of chart. And it was increasing. Something was increasing. But like the punchline was taken out or the setup was taken out. It was just bizarre. So then the guy comes back and he's like, "We'd like to schedule an interview. We'd like to schedule a surgery to remove the metal under your skin." And that was when I realized this is fucking serious. Like, I've got a piece of metal under my skin that they want to actually do a surgery with to take it out. So I'm like, this is crazy. So then I schedule the surgery. And the next day I wake up and it's gone. The scar and the thing that's under my skin, totally gone. So I end up going back to do the surgery. They have no idea what the hell's going on. The scar is gone. The scar I'd had for years. I had this raised sickle scar, like a perfect half circle raised, you know, and then underneath, like it felt like a nickel. That was gone. My neck was totally normal. It's still normal. It's like nothing had ever happened. And they're like, "Well, there's nothing here." And they just didn't know. They just sent me home. It was the weirdest thing.
You know what it is, Peter, how that lands in my body is like, it's so in one way, so insane because I know you and you went through this for real. And that would be so disorienting and odd. And on another level, it sounds like almost like a textbook alien story in the sense that like, there's a part of me that goes, yeah, that's what they do. They come down, they put a thing in you. But if they check that you know, then they're like, and they don't have great intentions or their intentions need to be secret for some reason, they're going to take it out. It's like, we've heard that story, like in movies and in the world. And I don't know. So there's like those two things happening. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, I had like a, it was like a psychic implant. Number one was don't tell anyone about it. And then number two, don't take it out. And that somehow I was able to kind of bust through those commands. And when I, yeah, when I did, they came and took it out. But I don't remember them ever coming down. So the light didn't come down the second time. The weird thing also is that this, the landing of the ship, happened about a month after, it had a month after my hiking experience.
Oh, really?
With my buddy. Yeah. So it was like all in the same year.
Will you tell the people the gist of the hiking experience story? Because I didn't tell that one yet.
Okay. This is pretty funny because there was a witness. I mean, I guess there were witnesses with the other thing, but they saw the scar and the bump and everything and the whole surgery that never happened. But that was all like witness. But this was actually a close encounter where I had a buddy who saw it with me.
Right.
And that was unusual because I've had lots of sightings. I've had dozens of sightings. This was the first sighting that I had like a close encounter with a friend.
You know what's interesting? Really quick, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but really quick. Usually what we do on this show is people come on and then and we talk about them a little bit and then we open their Akashic records, which is my way into the divine. And then we have that person ask a question that you want to ask the divine about. And then we do some healing or it's kind of amazing or whatever. In this case, my impulse is I have a question for you that I want to ask. Which is like, why you? Dozens of alien sightings and why you? Like, why you? Now, I have an addendum to it, which is that I myself have my own relationship to what I would call aliens or extra, you know, whatever. And it's much different than yours. And I'd love to talk about that a little bit in a minute. But I'm very curious why you and why in this particular way. Have you ever wondered that or not really?
I have my theories. Let me tell you the story and then maybe it will become clear maybe a little bit on why. Okay. So I'm making a television pilot in 1997, living in Santa Barbara, and I'm editing it and I'm editing at my friend's house and he is living in Santa Barbara as well. And he lives at his parents' house. He's a son of a very rich family, like a banking family, old money family. And they live in the hills and their backyard is national forest that goes on for miles and miles and miles. In their backyard, there's a big cliff and there's a ravine and a river. Then on the other side of the river is this big mountain, which is a little bit higher than the cliff. And then on the other side of that mountain was just forest. So anyway, we're editing and he likes to stay up real late. So we're up like also around 3 o'clock in the morning. So we're doing some animation and the animation needs to render. So we'll do the animation and then we'll go out and smoke pot or a cigarette, drink a Snapple and just kind of shoot the shit for a while it's rendering. And then we go back again. So in this particular case, we're doing just that. And we're waiting and he goes, Peter, I have to water my mom's plant. And he kind of says it like in a weird zombie kind of way. And so, okay. And he goes, my parents are coming. His parents were off on a business trip or something. And they were coming back the next morning, he says. So he goes, I have to water my mom's plant before they get back in the morning. So I go, he goes, would you like to come with me? So I say, okay. So he gets one of these like, you know, those watering the buckets,
yeah,
you know, and he fills it up with water, right? And then he gets a flashlight and he goes, follow me. So he starts walking into the woods, right? 3 o'clock in the morning, we're walking through the woods. I said, where are we going? And he's walking really fast, so I can't really catch up. So I'm like kind of running behind him. And I'm like, why are we going so far into the woods to water a plant? Like, why is your mom's plant in the woods? And so then we finally, it's so weird, right? So I finally get to the edge of the cliff with him. And I said, dude, what, why are we here? You know, like I'm upset and confused and we've been walking for a while. It makes no sense to me at all. And he goes, my mom's plant needs to be watered and it's right here. And I said, where? And then I look, I go, dude, where's your water bucket? And he goes, oh, I left it. So now we're all the way into the forest to water his mom's plants and he forgets the water bucket.
What the hell?
And so then just then when he goes, I forgot it, there's light, like incredible colors of light changing from blue to yellow to green. And it's just beyond the ravine and it's lighting up the sky for a mile up into the sky. It looks like a football stadium. Okay. You know, like a football stadium at night.
Like you mean like it's lit up really bright is what you mean.
Yeah. But like if you're outside a football stadium and you look and see there's like the football stadium light goes way up into the sky.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
When you're at nighttime, right? So it looks like there's a football stadium with lights changing colors right on the other side of a ravine about 100 feet away from us. So I'm like, whoa, we're looking at those lights. Wow, what is that? And then I go, it looks like a rave. And he goes, yeah, it must be a rave. And I go, in the middle of the forest? And he goes, yeah, I guess it's a rave. And then I go, but there's no sound. It's so quiet, you know? And he looks at me and he's like fully frightened, like panic. And then all of a sudden he's gone. He's just gone. I don't know where he is. He just disappeared right in front of me.
What?
Yeah.
Let me just get clear. Like literally like a film vanish, like he's there and then he's not.
Yeah. He just blinks and he's gone. And we're like locked eyes, you know, like he's panicked. I'm fine. And so I'm like, Phil. And then he's like, yeah. And I look and he's way into the forest now. I don't know how he got there. And I look and he's got his flashlight. He's running back into towards the house. He's going, I'm going inside. So even though this is the weird thing, right? Even though I'm in the forest alone, there's these weird lights and my friend has just vanished and then reappeared in the middle of the forest and is running for his life. I'm so calm right now. Like I'm just so calm and I'm just looking at the lights thinking these lights are so beautiful. And then all of a sudden I realize this is a UFO. This is not from planet Earth, or I don't know what it is, but it is like I'm not experiencing anything normal. And that this is maybe something interdimensional or from another planet or something. And so I just go back into the house. We go back and we continue to edit. And every once in a while I say, what do you think that happened? What happened there? And Phil goes, I don't know. Anyway, do you want to fade right here or cut earlier? And I was like, oh, let's fade. Then about 15 minutes later, but seriously, what do you think happened? It was weird, all those lights and everything, and the plants. What was that about? And then he goes, I don't know. Anyway, then we can wrap up for the day. Like, totally just change the subject.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so that was weird. And then the next day, there was like a party. His friend was having a party at his house, and I came to pick up a hard drive. I was mentioning it to some of his friends that what we had experienced. And then they're like immediately like, dude, what happened? You tell your version of the story, right? And so he tries to just change the subject, but no one wants him to change the subject. So they're like, oh my God, what was it like? And why did you have that plant? And he's like, I don't know. And then I go, yeah, dude, what was up with that plant? Why would your mom keep a plant out there? He goes, I don't know. And the other thing is, I don't know. My mom does not have a plant that I have to water. So I don't know why I said that. So he never really wanted to talk about it again. So the only kind of hashing out was at that sort of, that was the guy who was having some kind of party. He was going to get married. His best friend. And so a lot of his friends were hanging out in the bedroom or showing the animation and the TV pilot we were working on. And in between all of that, I was telling the story of what had happened the night before. And then they wanted him to talk about it. And he was just begrudging about it. So that was weird.
Okay. Well, I have a question. Do you have any theories about why you were calm and he was panicked? And also you said that maybe in the telling of this story, it would become clear why you, what can you say about all that?
I think a lot of weird things happen to people and they block them out. Like this guy, like he had the exact same experience I had, but he chose not to want to remember it or acknowledge it. So if he was so adverse to talking about it, that if I had not sort of forced him to talk about it, he probably would have never spoken about it ever again to anybody and then would have just forgotten it ever happened.
Okay, got
it. So my theory is that I don't have a lot of weird experiences. I, for whatever reason, have total recall or am not afraid, or have the ability not to shut it out. I'm okay with the ambiguities of life, or I'm okay with maybe embracing things that don't make sense to the norm. Like, I'm not afraid of dismantling my reality matrix so that I can blend into society more.
100%.
I don't really blend into society. Like, I make up fantasy stories for a living. These are not made up stories, I'm telling you, but like, I make up stories. Like, I'm a philosopher and a tinkerer and an inventor and an artist, and I make my own schedule and tell stories about cool things that I want to make up. That's what I do for a living. I mean, I'm very unconventional, and I embrace that part about myself. Whereas a lot of other people, they have to conform to survive. Like, if you live a normal job and you work with people, you kind of have to agree to the same CNN story that you saw together. Like, that's how you bond with your workers and your family and your loved ones. That's you agree on the same reality.
Yeah, I get that.
Fable,
yeah.
Right?
So 100%.
We all agree this is reality, so then you won't get ostracized.
So that being said, I'm wondering, and also now that you shared that context, it makes sense to me also why you. I guess I still remain with the question of, okay, well, here, I have a couple different things to say. One is, okay, my framework for like alien stuff, like beings that live in other dimensions or beings that live in other planets or whatever, is that, like, this is just context for people listening and maybe for you for this conversation, is that, like, just like human beings, some of them are benevolent and some of them are not, and some of them are somewhere in the middle of that scale. They're just all different races, all different beings, and some of them mean well for human beings on Earth and some of them don't. So I interact with them directly through the healing work I do, right? Like, certain clients will come to me and I open their records and I do woo-woo stuff. And then all of a sudden I see, like, oh, that's an alien influence there. Cool, let's clear that out. We clear it out. It takes 4 seconds. It's not a big deal. So to me, it's sort of like, the only problem I would have with an alien would be if they have a problem with me. Like, if there's an alien who's like, I want to murder you and your family, I'd be like, I would prefer you not do that. But the thing is, not all aliens are like that. Like, I've encountered like a fair amount of alien influences in human beings' bodies that are not benefiting them, but that certainly don't come with, like, now that I cleared it, like, green men with weird heads with guns show up at my house. It's more like I clear it and then it's gone and nobody's upset. Another form of alien experience I'll have is I'll see an alien influence and I'll realize, or I'll be shown, that that alien influence was helping that person for a long time sort of survive a difficult thing or come through a trauma, but that the alien influence is no longer required. And so then we remove it. Another experience I'll have is there's an alien influence that's helping a person. And I ask, like, is it time to remove this? And I get a no, like, this is still helping. So for me, it's like, it runs the gamut, just like with human beings, right? Like, some human beings give a shit about you. Some don't. Some are evil. Some are saintly. Like, there's just the gamut, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So it's very commonplace to me and I deal with it all the time. So it doesn't freak me out, which of course is like not typical. Mm-hmm. So in that way, I really relate to what you're saying. Now, having that context, I'm wondering still, like, I get why. Based on what you just said, I get why you can perceive them, right? But what I don't get is why they are revealing themselves to you. In other words, from...
Well, like I said, I don't think that they're revealing themselves to me as much as I have the capacity to recognize something that's unusual.
Will you tell us, I'm just aware of time, will you tell us another maybe one or two stories that maybe are things of... that have surprised you when you've run into them?
Sure. I had an experience where someone tried to kill me and a non-physical being protected me.
Carry on.
Okay. So I've never, before this happened, this is maybe 15 years ago, before this happened, I'd never heard voices in my head before. And I've never heard voices after that. But this one particular time, I had a voice tell me something and also create some kind of weird force field around me that literally pushed an attacker away from me and had them throw, they were thrown across space, like 6 feet, thrown, like propelled. And I've not experienced that before since. This is a guy who was, I was in my friend circle in Santa Barbara, and he used to brag that his dad ran the CIA. I met his dad. His dad was the second in line, the second in charge of the CIA for a while, and had a house in Santa Barbara. And his two adult sons lived in this house, and they were very rich. And they never worked, so they would throw these parties and stuff. And so I would go to these parties. I never really liked him, and he never really liked me. He was trained to kill and kind of would get drunk and do coke and stuff and brag that he could get away with murder and things like that.
This, and, I'm sorry, this is the kid or the kid's dad?
This is the kid. He's not a kid. I mean, he was in his 30s when this happened.
Okay.
Anyway, so I was doing a television pilot and he wanted to raise the money from his buddy who was the heir to Coca-Cola. He was taking his time about it. So I ended up just raising the money from someone else. And he was really upset about it. So he started to, he told everyone involved that I was like an asshole. And he was trying to poison the production, like 30, 40 people he was trying to turn against me. So I had met with him at this bar to try to figure out why he was so upset, because he had months and months to raise the money. He never did. So I just raised the money. So he was furious with me. So I met with him, and then we had a mutual friend, Heather. So Heather was there. And so he started yelling at me, "You're a motherfucking asshole, blah, 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 blah," to the point where we're at the bar. It wasn't even, it was like 5 p.m. So there was almost no one in the bar. So the bartender threw us out. So then we were in the alleyway, and he's yelling at me, and I'm totally cool as a cucumber, not upset at him at all, because I don't hate the guy and I don't understand why he's so upset with me. So I just want to make it good. How do we make this good? So he ended up attacking me. Tall guy. I'm 6'2". He's like 6'3". He's running at me with his fists aimed towards my clavicle. So he wants to kill me. So he's rushing at me. And just as he's about to make contact, everything slows down and a voice in my head. It wasn't in my head. It's sort of like she was next to me or something. But I hear this voice like whisper in my ears, "You're safe," just like that. And then he's just about made to make contact with me, and my shoulders drop, the crown of my head is elongated to the sky, my heels lock deeply into the ground. I don't take a step back or protect myself at all. And I feel a vibration for a second, like a whoosh kind of feeling. And he's thrown 6 feet back, and I see the bottoms of his feet. Even though he was running at me, I'm now seeing him flying away from me. And I remember seeing the bottoms of his shoes. His legs were up in the air and he landed on his ass. And Heather was like, "What is going on?" Her eyes were like saucers. And he was like white as a ghost and totally in shock. And he scrambles to his feet, and then he comes rushing at me again. Now, oh, even strongest, more vicious.
Right.
And then I hear the voice again. And same thing happens. My crown of my head starts to pull upwards. My shoulders drops, my arms to my sides, super slow breath, heels dug into the ground, like no, just standing erect. And he is thrown off of me, just totally thrown even farther now. I mean, I'm seeing the bottoms of his feet flying away from me. And he just scrambled up and ran away. And then Heather was like, sort of didn't know what to do. And we're looking at each other like, "What just happened?" And she runs after him. She's running after him. And then he avoided me after that. I'd see him at parties and things like that. He would avoid me completely, not make eye contact, not talk to me. And then about 10 years later, I'm in the same bar. 10 years later, I'd already moved back to LA. I'm visiting in Santa Barbara. And he comes over to me, totally drunk, gives me a hug and says, "I tried to kill you that one night. I tried to kill you, but it didn't work. We're brothers. We're brothers." Then he shakes my hand, and I guess I mistakenly shaked his hand in the way that he recognized as Masonic, because his eyes got real big and he looked at me and got real close and he said, "Ah, Masonic, we're brothers." Thought I was a Mason.
What?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
I said, "Good night, Mark," and I left. And, yeah. So some entity put a force field around me or yanked him off of me or something. But that guy tried to kill me. I thought he was trying to kill me, but then later on he actually told me, I tried to kill you that one night, but it didn't work. And now we're brothers. I haven't seen him since.
Oh my God. Okay, well, that's crazy.
Totally. This is bananas. I have no idea what that was about.
Do you have any desire to ask a question of the Akashic beings of light, aka God, today, or not so much?
I would think maybe you can ask a question, because I don't really have any questions. You know, I mean, I live. I understand that there's a lot of things that I'm involved in some kind of story that I'm unaware of, and it might have to do with my ancestors, my family in some way, that I'm involved in some kind of bizarre supernatural soap opera of some kind that I have not been given the script to. I'm okay with not knowing, but if you have a question that you want to ask, then share.
I think, you know what I love about your stories, Peter, and what stands out for me personally about them is when I'm experiencing otherworldly stuff, it's after I do a thing that actively takes me into another state of consciousness. Like I open the Akashic records and I get aligned with God, and then God shows me what I need to see through like my third eye, and my chakras are open, and then I'm able to whatever. But you're just like walking down the street and shit happens. You're just like standing outside and a thing happens. And I think that's what I love so much about your stories. It's like, they feel very relatable to me and like perfectly reasonable, but the way they occur to you is very different than the way they occur in my reality. And so I love hearing your version of it, of things, because it's just so different from how I experience it, you know? Do you remember when you and I were sitting on the couch that time in LA, and I just turned to you and was like, can I clear these entities? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I think I told the story. Did I tell this story last time? I did. What? Can you tell me like your version of what you remember that happened there?
Oh, yeah. My memory of it was like getting a haircut.
What do you mean?
Like nothing super. I just remember getting like a haircut from, it was like getting a haircut.
But do you remember what the results were the next day and the days after?
No, I don't.
Okay, I do.
Tell me.
Or I remember what you told me the results were.
Okay. Yeah, tell me. I don't remember.
So we're sitting on this couch, and my experience was there were like two entities, just like beings, just like kind of fucking with you, just like sitting on your body. And they were of a vibrational frequency that really bothered me. They were like bugging me. It was just uncomfortable to sit next to it. Like kind of like if I were screaming really loudly sitting next to you, or if I were like scraping my hands on a chalkboard, you'd be like, ah, stop it. So
I do remember that.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's annoying. And I go, hey, look, I know this is weird, but do you mind if I clear these entities that are right here? And you're like, yeah,
I remember that. Yeah.
So then I clear them. It takes like no time at all. And then the next day or 2 days later or something, you call me and you're like, I can't get these women off my jock now. Like there was a bunch of girls that you were like interested in this one girl. And then there was a flirtation with this other girl, and you had a best friend, and there were all these women. And like all at once, they were like, what's up, Peter? And you were like, this happened right after you cleared those entities.
I do remember that. Yeah.
I just love that story. I think it's really fun. I mean, the way in my mind that makes a lot of sense to me is like, I think that that's kind of a perfect example of sort of what you're talking about, in the sense that any normal woman is going to be a little more sensitive than any normal man. Like if we're radically generalizing and speaking broadly. Mm-hmm. So women tend to be a little more tapped in. So if they're sitting next to a dude and they're feeling something weird, they don't know what it is. They just go, that guy's weird, but they don't know what they're perceiving.
Sure.
Of course, they're going to be like a little repelled by that energy. So then if that energy is gone, they're not repelled anymore. They just have no idea like what it was. And they would probably frame it quite differently than that.
Yeah. And also, you know, that kind of stuff can affect me, you know, if I'm blocked. So
100%. Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's totally true. Women are more ruled by emotion and men are more ruled by logic, usually.
Well, I guess what I could say with that is that emotion, as far as I see in the healing work I do is the doorway to the next realm. At least for a lot of people, it's like if you're super with your emotions, you can be super with the spirit world, which would explain why maybe, I don't know, maybe that's a piece of how women are more regularly, more easily, generally speaking, in a general way, a little more tapped in to the spirit world. Anyway, I'm feeling perfectly satisfied by this conversation. I just don't feel like we need to bother opening the records here. I'm wondering if there's anything else you wanted to share with us or anything else you wanted to add.
Yeah, I don't really know. This has been nice. I mean, I haven't thought about these things in a long time. I don't really bring them up in day-to-day. I'm very aware of what most people are capable of comprehending and what they're willing to take in, you know?
Yeah, sure. Totally.
So I'm just trying to be sensitive to that.
Of course.
But if someone goes, oh, I saw a UFO, you know, do you believe in that kind of stuff? I might tell them a little bit of stuff, but the whole, like, you know, getting implanted and all that stuff, that's no bueno. No one likes to hear that. It's creepy. Just hold things really lightly.
100%. I think what happens for people is at a certain point, once you've seen reality dissolve in front of your eyes, quote unquote reality, just fall apart and become or reveal itself to be much more complex than what we're seeing. How else can you hold it? And in a related way, I think that's the thing when I look at human beings who can't perceive or won't perceive beyond the three dimension or four dimension or even fifth dimension is the opposite of what you just described. It's like a deep, tight holding on. Like I gotta hold this hard and I gotta hold it tight and it's gotta be very serious, very real, because this is reality. And without that tight holding on to reality, we all just fly off the face of the earth and die. And
I think that's exactly what you're saying is exactly it. That's why there's so much pushback to things that are a little bit different, that, you know, talking about the Akashic records, there might be someone out there listening who's getting very angry right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that anger is basically, do not dismantle my reality matrix.
Right, of course.
Because if I have to then believe this, and then I have to also believe that the president is not in charge, and then maybe my husband is cheating on me, and maybe my mother isn't who my mother said she was, and then what is the meaning of life? And then everything just sort of, like, you know, you're just like rocking in the corner, drooling.
Right? Meanwhile, I was rocking in the corner, drooling when I was like six. I was like being shown all this stuff and being like, oh, okay, well, all right. And then I had to get on the train. What else are you going to do?
Well, you could just keep rocking.
Yeah, I guess. But I'd rather have
you can just rock it, which is exactly what you're doing, Katie.
Yeah, we're just rocking out, Peter. Dude, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you being here. This was and side note from what you said a second ago, I think when you were like, there could be a person who's out there really angry right now, I think we're going to piss off a lot of people with this one. And that excites me. That excites me.
I love pissing people off. Dude, I can't stop pissing people off.
You're good at it, man. You got to do what you're good at.
It's fun. Someone's got to, you know, it's like everyone needs a hobby.
Well, you found yours, and thank you for sharing it with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Thanks so much. I think we're going to stay on and chit chat a little bit, but you can feel free to whatever you call it. Log off, hang up.
All right. I got to keep making my movie. My guy's waiting on me.
All right. Get the hell out of here.
All right, guys, peace be with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
So, yeah, and I also sort of enjoy, you know, on the topic of what our podcast is, it's like I enjoy the complexities of what's involved with the differences between different, I'm going to call us weirdos for a second, perceptions of reality. In other words, if you were painting with broad strokes, you could say like me and Peter are same thing, but not, because when you get into it, you realize like, oh no, we're quite different about some things. And like, we also can perceive certain same things from other realities. But even as we talked about it, when he and I were talking, we're perceiving them quite differently.
Yeah.
Quite differently. So like, what a fascinating thing, the different lenses through which even people who are on the woo-woo spectrum
Right. And well, see-through. The fact that I would assume, I'm assuming that, like, based on Peter's description of how people, you know, experience but don't retain those experiences, yeah. But that I would be like, I'm going to go with Katie being one of the people who would retain the type of experiences that you're having all the time. And you're not having those experiences unless you engage with them directly as entities, but you're not having canyons being lit up or bright lights in your, that's a very specific type of experience, right, that you're not retaining. So I'm like, are you also blocked from retaining them? Or is it that, right, actually he's having those experiences for, and I was interested. I was kind of hoping he was more open to the idea that, no, you are having these experiences that the rest of us aren't actually having. It's not that we're repressing them. We aren't having them. But I don't know, because based on his theory, it can't be proven, because I may also be having them and not retaining them because I can't engage.
Well, yeah, you know. Right, totally. But also, I appreciate what he said at the end, which was, look, I hold these strong positions, but also, like, right, I don't fucking know. He's like, I'm just, right, seeing what I'm seeing. And if I'm proven wrong tomorrow if the most fundamental thing I hold as true is blown apart tomorrow, cool, right, I got to get on board with that. So I think he just has strong opinions and strong points of view, but also knowing him too, I know he holds it, yeah, all with, like, and
right, and we did say, like, tell us what you think. So it's like, here yeah, I go, I'm going to tell you what I think.
Yeah, 100%. Totally. It makes me think about, and then we can wrap up, but it makes me think about, there's this quality about the Aquarius. Now I'm on to astrology. Aquarians, which I happen to know Peter is one of, and I am one. Aquarians, their default thing is, okay, I'll put it like this. Each sign in the sun position, which is when people say my sign is, they're just talking about 1/12, right, of their chart, which is their sun sign. Okay. So the default, excuse me, I've got a burp on deck. You're welcome.
You said we had America to burp directly into the mic on the first episode, second episode. You said you must burp directly into the mic.
Okay. Thank you for reminding me. I forgot about my own rules. Very fair point. That the ego of each sign, the personality, ego aspect of each sign has a phrase with it. And the Aquarian one is, I know. And notice, you know, my podcast here is called All the Answers. I know. Right. I know. You know, and Peter has that Aquarian default mode as well. Like, here's what.
And you're also an Aquarian.
Yes. I know is where he's going to come from. Now, that being said, the interesting paradox about the Aquarius is that they know that they know, and they're very open to being changed, having their minds changed, because it's the sign of divine insight and an awakened mind, meaning Aquarius can kind of see everything. So they're like, well, I know what truth is. And then they go, but because I can see everything, I know that also I might not, right, have any idea. So, like, just to give an example, like the Cancer, for example, phrase is, I feel. So the Cancer can feel everything, and they do feel everything, and they're thusly gifted with whatever that
What's
provides.
Gemini? Now,
anyway,
I gotta know.
My point being, I think Gemini is I think.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, but I could be misquoting it.
I love that.
I'll look it up later. It's fun. The Leo is I am, or it's either I am or I win. Anyway, Aries, you know, they all have, it's really fun. We'll have, you know what, for next time, I'm going to look them up so I can share it with everybody. All right. So, different episode, different style. We did it different. I'm proud of us for being flexy and bendy.
No records today. That's
no
okay.
No records at all. Who needs them? Who needs them?
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Well, thank you. You guys rock. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.